And now, courtesy of the 11L Network, it's LF Midwood.
LF Midwood.
And the Midwood Files. With the LF Midwood Experience. Here on Radio New York International.
They're all over the place. That's, it may not look like it to you or sound like it to you, but it's just not good. I don't know what's going on. I'll have to fix it one of these days. I'm going to have to, like, crazy glue pots. That's what it is. I know people have been, they've used tape whiteout and stuff like that as markers and stuff, because it's just the same. Anyway, welcome to the Midwood Files, the longest hour of internet radio you'll likely to hear this week. My name is LF Midwood. I don't know, man. It's not, I had some technical woes this week. We finally decided we wanted to set up these, we got these lights. We got these key light airs, they're called. They're these little LED panels. Quite pricey. The Elgato. You know, I recently found out that Elgato, the company Elgato, which apparently caters to their capture cards and lights. And I don't know if they do a camera. I think they do a microphone now, which actually looks kind of intriguing. But it's a USB mic. And I have more than enough microphones at this point in time. That's one thing I'm not looking into is mics. That's not entirely true, but I'm looking for a very special mic, for a special job. So that's different. So I have one mic slot open, I suppose. But that being said, they like do niche stuff for streamers. I think I've mentioned them, several times, in the recent weeks. They were recently, I don't know how recently, but they've been acquired by, Corsair. Who, those of you who are into PC builds will recognize them as a memory company. They do PC memory, and I think they do thumb drives and cards, SD cards, and all sorts of stuff like that. So they've been around for quite some time. So it's interesting because they are really niche products. And we got these two Keylight Airs for actually a pretty decent price, considering what some of the gouging stuff is, because everything that's involved with streaming has been gouged so badly in the last 6 months, 6, 7, 8, 9 months even. It's really, 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 well, January, February, 2 minus 10, 8 months, yeah, about 8 months. I had to do some quick math talking out loud there. So we bought these things from Best Buy, of all places. I went to go pick them up. And they've been sitting here for about, I don't know, 3 weeks or so. And I knew I had about a month or so where I could return them to the store. And then after that, I was going to have to deal with the manufacturer. So I figured, you know what? Let's make sure this happens. So I think it was, I forget when it was. It must have been like the Wednesday, maybe Wednesday. I told the producer set them up, just like plug them in and take them out of the box and assemble them in whatever degree they needed to be assembled and plug them in. And if it got too difficult, I would get involved, because these particular lights are the only way to control them other than basic on and off is via Wi-Fi. They hook up to your network and they're recognized as devices on your Wi-Fi network. And that's how you control the warmth. You can change, you know, the actual warmth from red to blue, and the intensity of the lights and all that jazz. So apparently, she got them together all right. In the process of plugging them in, she accidentally, I guess, unplugged their computer a few times. And what was going on is we were getting were getting blue screens as we tried to boot. And actually, at the same time, which was really strange, I was also getting, there were indicators that Windows had deactivated itself, as in it was no longer activated. It's a copy of Windows 10. So I was like, so I didn't know what was going on at first. I didn't really, there was too much coming at me at one time. We wound up actually, while we were ascertaining that there was a definite problem with the computer, I was finishing off the lights. I got them onto my Wi-Fi network because for some reason the local Wi-Fi network in this room wasn't letting me in, which means I don't know what the password is. It's kind of funny. So we got that settled and the lights were good. And I figured the only way to get around the deactivation problem, I've had this once before, was basically reformat. So in the process of, and I figured that would take care of whatever was going on with the blue screens. So in the process of reformatting, there's two identical drives in this machine. They're both terabyte drives. And one has Windows and is the C drive. And the other is, usually an E or an F or possibly a G drive. And it's for storage. Sometimes we actually make a clone of the drive that's running. In this way, if there's a problem, we just pop the clone in. Which is fine. It works usually. But we get lazy and we don't remember the clone. So there's a drive sitting there that's the system drive, and then there's a drive sitting in there that's just a storage drive. So we thought we were actually writing over the going to install over the C drive. But it turns out we installed over the D drive. Or actually, the other terabyte drive that's in there. So, which meant that the original drive was intact. So, and in the process of doing so, we were still getting blue screens. So I knew something was. You know, it wasn't the hard drive. It wasn't that Windows installation. It was something else going on. So I played with it for a couple few hours, trying to get it to do various things. And at one point, we realized that we hadn't, as I said, we realized that we hadn't written over the original C drive, and we actually booted into it, and it turns out it was activated again. So I don't know, it was some Windows shenanigans. I'm not really sure, but that actually turned out to be good news because we're getting blue screens all the way across, which then meant it wasn't either hard drive, it was other hardware. It wasn't software, and it was other hardware. Which points towards the board. So I started playing around with the board, and this was one of those really, really souped up boards. And it's, I guess it's a Devil's Canyon. The chip is a Devil's Canyon, the CPU. So I don't remember the specifics of the board, meaning I know it was a high-end board at the time. And I remember when I put this board together, this had to be like 4 or 5 years ago, maybe 5 years ago. When I put this board together, what I did was it took 32 gig max. So I figured, you know what, instead of going through all the trouble of, getting stuff later, changing this and changing that, why don't I just get enough memory and just fill the sockets? So and it was dual channel. So it was 16 gig in one channel and 16 gig in the other channel, but it was 8x4, which meant I was filling all four RAM sockets. So I did that, and I could not get it stable. It would boot, but it would not. Whenever I try to put it on any sort of load, because I like to test stuff with like Orthos or Prime or some other number crunching thing that really generates some heat and tests some memory, it would crash. I mean, it would poach. So it just kept doing that. And I mean, I had to be working on this thing like a week or 10 days. And then I finally came across something that said, when you fill out all four, for whatever reason, on this particular board, whenever you fill out all four sockets on the memory, the memory socks, you have to increase the voltage to the memory controller, which is probably the north bridge or the south bridge. I don't remember. So that it can, so that it works properly. Well, lo and behold, I upped the memory to the memory controller, and everything was great. Everything was groovy. Everything was like perfect. So I moved it in here, and it was working for a long time. I think it was working for like three and a half, 4 years. And then like maybe about a year ago, maybe a little bit more, it started the blue screen again. So the first thing I did was I actually, because I didn't know where to start, so I figured let me start in the last spot that was a problem. I upped the voltage again, and it was smooth sailing for a year. It was perfectly fine, perfectly fine. So what I did was I kind of remembered, you know, because it's a lot of drugs ago. I mean, like a lot of drugs ago. So I kind of remembered that it probably had to do with the memory and the memory controller. So the thing of it is, though, is I can't remember which particular spot I'm supposed to raise the voltage up that affects the controller, because it's not the drams themselves. It's the actual controller. It's the overall controller. So I have no clue. So I went to sleep that night, meaning the night that I was working on the machine this week. And I said, well, we know we have a good copy of Windows, which means that there won't be any reinstalling, which is always good news. And the second thing is the first thing I want to do in the morning when I wake up is I want to come in here and I want to unplug two of the sockets. I want to take two of the memory DIMMs out. So instead of there being 8x4, it'll be 8x2. There'll be two of the memory sockets. I don't even know if that's proper terminology, but the spot where the memory goes, you know, where you plug it in. So we did that. And lo and behold, the damn thing boots, and it's been perfectly fine since. Which, again, points towards the fact that when it's stacked out to 4, it needs more voltage. And by unstacking it out, it was fine. So one of these days, I have to figure out where I need to increase the voltage. And I did it twice before, so obviously I know how to do it. But it's, you know, it's funny. Lightning made an analogy to me, relearning stuff. It's kind of almost like from the difference between being on drugs, meaning the drugs for my bipolar versus not, it's kind of like stroking out and have to learn everything all over again. It's kind of like that. And then there's the problem of remembering stuff once you've done it again, once you've relearned it. So it's like you're constantly forgetting things unless you do it all the time. So as of right now, this machine is running 16 gigs of memory in dual channel mode, and it's happy. We have the two lights working, and all we are waiting on is I've ordered those two pipes that I overpaid for, waiting for them to come in like November. But interestingly enough, I decided, because I've always had a problem lighting up webcams in the bedroom, and I'm like, it's just always been a problem. You got to turn this on, you got to turn that on. It's like a lot of different combinations of stuff, because I usually run those two red light bulbs, as some of you are probably aware of. What I did was also via Best Buy, because I saw a review on this thing, and I'm like, I might be able to use that. So I ordered again from Elgato. Any of you out there might want to buy some stock in Elgato, because I'm putting bucks in their pockets. And also from Best Buy, by the way, is I ordered a 19-inch ring light. I don't know if you know what a ring light is, but it's basically a light ring, just like it sounds. And in the middle of it, you put your camera. And this way, the camera is evenly lit, and your face is evenly lit, because you point it downward a little bit, and there's an even ring of light, because like the two air lights we bought, they're not... You're going to have to dick with them to get them, like, this one this way and that one that way. And is there enough light from this direction? Is there enough light from that? With ring lights, you really don't have to worry about it. So I ordered one because I wanted to have one for the bedroom, not the studio, the bedroom. So I ordered this thing, and it shows up like 2 days later. I was like, holy smokes. I got here on, I think it was Friday. And it turns out it comes with two pieces of pipe that are exactly like what I ordered, only shorter. And when I say shorter, there's four sections in the one that I ordered that I'm waiting to come in. But there's two sections on the one that comes with the light. So I actually, I got frisky, and I pulled the light into the studio. And we were playing around with the light. And let me tell you, it's mega bright. It's going to do exactly what I needed to do in the bedroom, which is good. But we also figured out that two sections of pipe gets us over the monitor in the studio. So we're going to be setting that SL3, that DSLR, up pretty soon, probably tomorrow, if I'm feeling motivated enough. And we should have camera output from here pretty soon. Now, I don't know what I'm going to do with that exactly. I haven't made any promises. Oops, is a pea. I killed that one. It's sort of around the corner, and I shot it. So I don't know. But what I want to do is I want to get the SL3 set up, and I want to get the lighting set up in here. And this is now the studio I'm talking about, and give it a dry run and see what winds up happening. But it's interesting. And now the only thing of it is I have the light ring without anything suspended in the bedroom because I'm taking the pipe section that supports it that it came with, which is no big deal. See, it's interchangeable because it's the same size. Which is, I guess, when they make stuff, they make it that way so that, it's interchangeable. So we're going to have to see what happens. And it's no big deal that I don't have a setup in the bedroom because I'm really doing, I'm waiting for Gymnasium to come home. Gymnasium is still Pennsylvania way. And it's getting cold up there. So he should be coming home in the next month or so. And then once Gymnasium comes home and he starts doing shows on the Hank and Jim Network over there on Vaughn, I'll be using my webcam. So I have reason to use my webcam. So that's that. That's what's going on in the technical end of things. And we only made that decision to try and set up the SL3 like hours ago. So it's somewhat exciting. Once again, I lead the kind of life where I really have a whole lot going on at any given point in time. So anything that's hardware upgrade always kind of makes me happy. The trick is not to be chasing we're not gamers. Neither of us game. So we're never running out to try and get the latest video card, which is, I think they're more and more expensive, by the way. We make the kind of upgrades where, we upgrade from where we were, and then we're good for a long time. So it's a fair financial investment. This is true. We're spending a lot of money on the studio. But, we enjoy it. This is what we do. This is the hobby. We don't have kids. We have cats, but we don't have kids. And this is the hobby. It's not quite as bad as owning a boat. Boats are really bad. And I've come to find that cameras can be pretty bad with lenses as well. But if, I have entry-level lenses. I have several entry-level lenses. I can't afford the good stuff. And I'm reasonably happy. Yeah, I'm reasonably content. So I just want to get this set up. And then I'll decide what I'm going to do with video as to whether I'm going to try and do the whole show, video-ize the whole show again. Or just do certain things during the week, maybe a midweek video presentation, something 15, 20 minutes long. Nothing easily digestible and distributable via YouTube and whatever else I can to put it up on. So we'll see. But things are moving along. We don't have to wait to November for that, which is really good. I guess it's only a month, but still. We're a month ahead. We're a month ahead of the game. So that being said, that's all that's going on here on a regular, normal level. I did go by Olive Garden again. I got narked out again by I got narked out by Paul. Thank you, Paul, for narking me out there. There were people who hadn't realized that I had been there twice. Yeah, believe it or not, there are people. I have Facebook friends who don't listen to the show. As a matter of fact, hardly anybody I know listens to this show. Which is to say, the only people who listen to it are people that I know. So, but that being said, I went to Olive Garden again. And that's it. That's all that happened this week. I think I'm trying to remember if there's anything else that was of interest to the rank and file. And that would be it. Now, we obviously have a couple of few things going on. We had the debates, which were pretty big, obviously, on Tuesday. I really was looking forward to those. And we get the news, I guess Friday evening, that the president and Mrs. President tested positive for COVID. I think Kelly Conway and a couple other people, step away from the microphone. I think Chris Christie and Mike, is it Mikely? I don't know if it's Mikely. It might be Mikely. No, not really 100% sure. But a whole bunch of people tested positive. So I guess I'll deal with those two things separately. Probably in the order that they occurred would probably be the best way to do it. So the debates, like I said, I haven't been watching any basketball this year. Once, because the Knicks were eliminated early on. They weren't even in contention really for playoffs. So they never played any ball after they did the whole bubble thing, where there was that little end of season before they started the playoffs. So I haven't been watching, which is a little uncommon for me. I would usually watch the finals. I haven't watched the finals game yet this year, and I probably won't for obvious reasons. Some obvious, some not so obvious reasons, as they say. So I don't have any sports, you know, because that's my big sports thing is, you know, and I'm not watching the NASCAR anymore because they got all goofy and stuff. And there'll be plenty of time for dirt track racing when I get to Texas, which is a whole different thing. Although I think there's going to be a NASCAR race, Cup Series race that's on dirt, believe it or not. I think that's coming up in the next couple of weeks, which is really kind of interesting because they haven't done that in like supposedly a long time. It's where they originally started from, but they haven't done one of those in a long time. So I'm not going to watch it, but I'm just taking note of it. Anyway, so there's been no sports, so I've been particularly keen on the presidential election cycle, as I know some of, if not all of you have been. So I was really gassed up for the debates. And I was just kind of hoping going in that that the president didn't come out looking bad. I don't care about the idea of winning so much, primarily because I'm voting for him anyway, you know. But I just didn't want him to look bad. I didn't want him to look bad. And I watched Fox. I watched it on Fox, but I only watched the pre stuff for a little while. And I immediately turned it off. I didn't listen to any of the talking head stuff. I was kind of waiting to see what the five had to say because I watched the five from, well, not every Friday or not every day at 5 o'clock, but Friday I tried to get them for sure. And I was curious what they thought. So I listened to what they thought. And I haven't really, you know, it's hard to avoid if you're watching news and you're a news person. And you're interested in news, it's kind of hard to avoid an analysis of the debates. So I pretty much probably heard everything. And I don't know, I look at it and I'm like, I kind of wish that that Wallace had done a better job of controlling the situation. You know, it's kind of like I'll mention Lightning again. You know, when I started doing pirate radio a long time ago, way back in 80s, I think it was 88. I mean, and when I mean me, I mean like actually by myself, for whatever that was worth. And you know, I used to take calls, and I would let the calls get out of hand. I would let the callers take over the show. And you know, and it's just not good. you gotta remain in control of the situation. You know, you're the guy with the pot, so you could always lower the pot. See what I just said? Lower the pot. See, just like that. Yeah. And you maintain control. You make sure that you know, the proceedings are they proceed as you decide that they should proceed, because you're the boss. You're the guy in charge. So I wish that he had done a better job. I don't know what he could have. Oops. Geez. I don't know. I really have to stay away from this thing. I don't know what he, you know, a lot of people think that, you know, a lot of Trump supporters think that he was showing some sort of favoritism towards Joe Biden. But it strikes me that the president might have been, you know, more interruptus speakius, as the Latins would say, than Biden. Although Biden did obviously do so later on, and I think he called him a racist, and I think he called the president a clown, and a couple other derogatory terms, if I recall correctly. So, you know, no, Joe Biden is far from exonerated, but the whole thing was kind of like a mess. The whole thing was really kind of like a mess, and I don't know how much people who weren't already decided would have gotten out of that. And I think the president may have looked a little overbearing, look a little tiny little bit overbearing. And there's a level of frustration when the other guy's lying. He's obviously lying, and you know, you want to set the record straight. I get that. I understand the president's frustration, but I think he would have done well at certain points to allow Joe to dig his own grave. I think there was a few times there when the president even managed to save Joe from looking really bad by freaking talking over him. So I was a little disappointed. I was a little disappointed in the whole affair. It was kind of like, it wasn't quite, you know, Mike Tyson biting off Holyfield's ear. But it was close. It was close. And I like Chris Wallace. I think for the most part, he's a Fox guy, so he's, you know, reasonably conservative, I think, in his views for the most part. I like him. I don't dislike him. I felt, if anything, I probably felt worse for Chris Wallace than I did for anybody else involved, the other two guys involved. But, I mean, that's my impression. And I watched the whole thing from beginning to end. And I think Harris is trying to cancel the debates with Pence coming up. I think it's on Tuesday. Citing COVID reasons, but Pence is not tested positive for COVID. So I don't know what that's all about, but I think I caught a little snippet of that prior to going live. So it's not entirely surprising. I think it's as far as Biden's campaign not running any negative ads, and this ties into the next part of the interesting week, I suppose. The Biden campaign not running any negative ads while the president is undergoing treatment and determination in regards to what his health situation is. Now, I was watching yesterday, woke up a little late, but I was watching, I was watching the Five again, and all they were watching was the helicopter. They had their eyes on Marine One on the South Lawn. And they kept saying the president was going to come out and he was going to get on Marine One and they were going to take him over to Walter Reed. Now, before I forget, and this is actually pretty cool, there was an impromptu support rally going on outside Walter Reed by a gaggle, which is to say very many Trump supporters showing moral support for the president while he is staying, well, at least for tonight. I don't know about the next few days because I think the president's supposed to stay for the next few days. And the next few days is where we're going to tell where things are going. There have been conflicting reports tonight, depending upon what your source was, in regards to exactly how the president is doing, how well he's doing, and how well he's not doing. There's been talk of what would happen, worst case scenario, which is actually kind of disturbing at this point in time. But last time I checked, if something happens to the president of the United States and he becomes incapacitated, the vice president takes over. So we don't have to. No, I don't think there should be any undue concern about the Wicked Witch of the West taking over the reins. I don't think Nancy Pelosi is going to be eating anything but ice cream for a while. Let's hope, anyway. And so what was that going on about? I do this all the time. But yeah, there's been a little rally going on out there, which is really kind of nice. Now, I had my eyes on Marine One, like peeled. I mean, like, I was waiting because I wanted to see if he was going to come out. And they were like, well, maybe he'll talk to the press or maybe he'll wave or something. And I was, like, hoping for a thumbs up, you know, one of them double thumbs ups, you know, just everything's, you know, because it was pretty morose talk. Some of it was pretty negative in regards to, well, what if? And, you know, I guess news is supposed to do that, sensationalism and all that jazz. I get that. I fully comprehend that. So I'm watching Marine, and I'm watching, and I just picked my phone up to look at something, whoosh, and he was in and gone. It was flying away. So I'm like, damn, I missed it. So apparently he recorded a message, which is why there was this delay. And I even commented to the producer, it's like, you know, that's the great thing about being the president of the United States. There are no delays. You're on your own clock. You're not keeping anybody's clock. All the news people can stand around and wait. They can wait. It can be like, there ain't nothing without me, and I ain't coming out until I want to, which is kind of cool. So they flew the president and the first lady over to Walter Reed Hospital, and apparently there's some sort of presidential complex compound over there at Walter Reed, and they're better able to monitor the president and There was talk of needing oxygen, which is not uncommon. Today or tonight, the oxygen levels were supposedly better. It's a little bit of a quagmire in regards to what's going on. And one thing that that's for sure is, it's not entirely unexpected, but you would have thought with the Biden campaign, doing the right thing, that the rest of liberal America, because, Joe Biden is the Democratic Party, after all, you would have thought with Joe setting the tone that there would have been a better, a more decent response from the Democratic Party in general and the liberals in particular. But I guess these are the same people who burn down cities and hold cities hostage for your vote, or maybe not your vote, but the rest of America's vote. It's been pretty foul. I'm not going to get specific, I don't think. I don't know. I got one or two things on. I do got a couple of articles I want to hit on. But I am definitely disappointed in the response of the left. Without a doubt. I don't think it would be the other way around. Most places where I hang out, for the most part, they would be praying for Biden. If the situation were reversed, they would be praying for Joe Biden. There would be prayer warriors at work, hard at work. Even though they didn't agree, obviously, with the politics and the philosophy, they would still pray for him. Because they're like that. Because they're just better people. I mean, and I don't think that's a matter of opinion. If you float around the internet and you hear all the, I hope they die. The roosters come home to roost, and all that. And that's the nice stuff being propagated, and not just from this is the thing. It's not just from low lives typing in their mother's basements. It would appear to be celebrities, people, celebrities and influencers. I think those are the terms they use these days, who are showing their true colors in regards to their overall shittiness. I guess it's disappointing. It really is disappointing. Let's see if I can find anything. Oops. Bang that. Let's see if I can bang. Let's see how many things I could possibly do wrong tonight, because I'm in one of those moods. All right. Let me over here. Okay. And this is at a Breitbart. I hope it's still there. I have issues with Breitbart sometimes. Yes. Let's see. Class is the name of this. This is from Breitbart. Celebs pile on hate after Trump transferred to Walter Reed. Hollywood elites have refused to stop heckling President Donald Trump following his revelation Friday that he and First Lady Melania tested positive for COVID-19. Unencumbered by empathy or decorum, wealthy elites used the coronavirus to attack the president in snickering fashion even after he was transferred to Walter Reed Medical Center. Pray for Trump's speedy recovery so he can go to jail, said actor Michael Ian Black, setting the tone for the torrent of hate from the Hollywood left. I don't even know who that is. Maybe I do. Left-wing director Rob Reiner and Scrubs actor Zach Braff both made snide comments as Trump was being transferred to Walter Reed. You can't spin a deadly virus, and one doesn't go to the hospital with light symptoms, do they? President Donald Trump announced early Friday morning that he and First Lady Melania Trump had tested positive for the virus. President Trump was transferred to Walter Reed Military Hospital on Friday evening, where he and Mrs. Trump will spend the next several days out of an abundance of caution, the White House said. It didn't take long before the celebrities were piling on the hate. Boy, it was a roundup of their vile. So Christian Johnson, I don't even know who that is. He's finally alarmed, guys. Okay. Billy Eichner, that's the dude who was in the Mean People thing, I think, or or ugly people, whatever it was. Vote him out. Okay, that's clever. Chelsea Peretti, as long as he's in good spirits, I'm happy. I don't know who that is either. Patricia Arquette, no reporter should interview Mark Meadows. You are putting your reporters at risk. He is negligent. He's walking with the president who is COVID positive. John Cryer, he knows how dangerous COVID-19 is. We heard him on the Woodward tapes. He only downplays it publicly because he wants to win the election. Okay. Mia Farrow is another shining example of humanity. Could he be making this up? He's faced with losing, and this is a way of bailing out while saving face. Yeah, okay, she's still drinking her own bathwater. Let's see, Ken Marino. Here's to hoping he's not working 24/7 at the hospital and has some free time to watch this. Okay. Rob Delaney, if you need me, I'll be at my hospital office. Okay. Kathy Griffin, I'd prefer you get medically treated at one of your ICE detention centers, but okay. Oh, that's clever. Kirk Avecito, the Puerto Rican people send their love. Yeah, and that's sarcasm. Mr. Avecito doesn't like, he can go back to his island of origin. He was in, he's been in a bunch of stuff, but I actually know who he is, actually. Not all the reaction from Hollywood celebs was classless. Attacks on Trump. Cher and the Office star Rainn Wilson wished the president and his family well. Oh, go figure. Interesting. And that's that. Now, again, you can imagine, you know, these people who are considered to be influencers, and the people they influence were a lot worse, badly behaved, behaving badly. However you want to put it. And it does bother me because, you know, I really do honestly believe that if it were the other way around, I don't think you'd have, first of all, there's hardly any conservatives in Hollywood. You know, they're usually badgered and run out of town or suppressed in a serious fashion. So it's more left to the rank and file, you know, Trump supporters who are generally conservative, although I guess I know a couple of people who run down the middle. Believe it or not. You know, I actually know a couple. This is real interesting. I know a couple of people who didn't start out as, Democrats who weren't liberals, okay? So that had probably something to do with it, you know, because they didn't take the lifetime oath of stupidity, but who were regular Democrats who, over the course of the last 3.5-4 years, have wound up becoming supporters of the president just based upon the way he's been treated day in and day out between the media and, again, Antifa and these friggin' Hollywood celebs and influencers and pretty much almost everyone, and all the Democrats, the liberal party of the Democrat, the liberal wing of the Democratic Party, first with the Russia, and then with that other thing there, I forget about that other thing, and then there was another thing, and then there was the thing after that, and then the thing after that, and then the thing after that. Every day there's a thing, and it seems to never end. It seems to never end. So yeah, they've gotten a little tired of it, and I'm impressed. I'm impressed with the critical thought, because we have a lot of critical thought left, at least not on the side of the left. It's just Orange Man bad, and always doing is making money for his own companies, and he's using these international connections, and Saudi Arabia this, and then the other thing over there, and then it's all. But at the end of the day, you got nothing. There's nothing. There's nothing. You got nothing. 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 All they were able to do was to get General Flynn to lie. That's perjury of some sort right there. And Comey's not done. There was this Durham report. I'm looking forward to this Durham report. I'm hoping that it's as widely propagated as all the stuff that the Democrats wasted paper on, killing trees like that, in order to. I actually saw Ken Starr. I forget what I was watching. I guess it had to be Fox. And Ken Starr, somebody had Ken Starr on as a guest. And I was like, wow, Ken Starr. It was a blast from the past, speaking of what wound up being a waste of paper, you know, in regards to the Starr report on President Clinton there. Nothing came of it, but you know what? That's the thing. It's real interesting. And I've made this statement before, and I stand by this. I stand by this as an overall statement. I think everything you're seeing from the liberals now, or from the Democrats now, but particularly the liberal Democrats now, I think everything that the Republicans used to try and get some sort of something on Clinton has been, you know, all of those tactics, if you will, all those tactics have been used against President Trump. We apparently the Republicans taught them everything they know, which is really kind of interesting if you think about that. So, yeah, those are the two big stories of the week, I suppose. And, you know, of course, we here hope the president recovers speedily. I know they were talking about, I think they canceled or moved to a virtual format, whatever was on the president's itinerary for the week. And I guess a lot of guessing tonight on my part. I guess the next couple of days really is gonna, you know, be the indicator of where this goes. I wonder when he got sick. I think it was Hope Hicks, I'm thinking, was I think on Thursday and she's an advisor to the president, and she had come down with COVID. So because they say the a week, 10 days for symptoms, you know, to show positive from time of infection, I think that's what they say. So we'll have to see how this all shakes out. I hope they weren't taking Chris Christie to the hospital in the express lane. That's a bad joke. Anyway, what do I got? Let's see. All right, what is it? Doctors at the White House. Let's see what this is. This is from The Hill, Home News. Doctors, White House staff offered. This is, what I found kind of interesting. Doctors, White House staff offer conflicting messages on president's health. And this is dated today at 10:22, so it's not that long ago. Because this show is on Saturday nights. I think most of you know that, late Saturday into Sunday. The White House on Saturday sent conflicting signals about the president's battle with the coronavirus, raising questions over the seriousness of his health. Doctors Saturday afternoon offered a rosy assessment of Trump's health less than 24 hours after he was checked into Walter Reed Medical Center in Bethesda, Maryland. But statements to the Associated Press and other outlets later attributed to White House Chief of Staff Mark Meadows and other sources gave a more alarming count of the president's health. Adding to the confusion, the doctors themselves sent mixed messages over basic facts about the president's treatment. Trump was diagnosed with coronavirus late Thursday night after top White House aide Hope Hicks texted positive for the virus. I just mentioned that. The president and First Lady Melania Trump announced early Friday morning they had tested positive for COVID-19. Friday afternoon, the president was taken via Marine One to Walter Reed out of an abundance of caution. That's the phrase that the administration keeps using over and over again. To White House Press Secretary Kayleigh, said White House Press Secretary Kayleigh McEnany. The president was later seen on camera walking out of the White House in a suit, blue tie, and a mask, where he waved to the press and boarded. Say, I missed it. God, darn shit. At the time, White House physician Sean Connolly released an update stating that the president was experiencing fatigue. I heard fatigue and mild fever. On Saturday, the White House staff and physicians began issuing mixed messages. At Saturday press conference outside Walter Reed, the White House physician Sean Connolly told reporters Trump was doing very well. At this time, the team and I are extremely happy with the progress the president has made, Connolly said. Thursday, he had a mild cough and some nasal congestion and fatigue, all of which are resolving and improving. He is in exceptionally good spirits, said Sean Dooley, as said following Connolly, adding that Trump's heart, kidney, and liver seem normal and that he was not experiencing any trouble breathing or walking around. Moments after the press conference, however, a source familiar with the president's health, who was not initially on record, said the president's vitals over the past day have been very concerning, describing the next 48 hours as critical in terms of his health. I think that's generalized, you know, the next, you know, he's at the point where it within what, 2, 3, 4 days where it's going to get better or it's going to get a lot worse. That's not in the article. That's just me saying that. So we're still not clear on a full recovery on, we're still not on a clear path to full recovery, the person now reported, as Meadows said. The chief of staff was caught on camera outside Walter Reed talking to reporters and asking to go off the record to discuss the president's health. Oh, that's interesting. These are remarks from Meadows contrasted his statements early Friday when he said Trump was experiencing mild symptoms but was very energetic. Connolly also raised new questions about the timeline of Trump's diagnosis when he described Trump as 72 hours into his diagnosis, which is 3 days. A White House official later claimed that Connolly meant to say it's day 3 of the president's diagnosis, not 72 hours. Connolly later issued a memo correcting his statement, saying that Trump was diagnosed Thursday evening and prescribed an experimental antibody cocktail on Friday. Yeah, I know. So one thing, another thing that's been kind of interesting is that they've been, I know they gave him that stuff so that the virus load is less, which is actually fascinating. Additionally, Connolly dodged dodging of questions on whether the president has received supplemental oxygen. This was a big issue. Has added another layer of uncertainty about the level of treatment Trump has received since his diagnosis was first announced on Friday morning. When asked by reporters whether the president has been on oxygen, Connolly repeatedly said that the president was not currently on it. He later added that Trump had not been on it Friday at Walter Reed. Multiple reports from different outlets said sources with knowledge of the situation confirmed Trump had received supplemental oxygen since contracting the virus. The AP report Saturday that a person familiar with the Trump condition who requested to speak on the condition of anonymity, very popular, Trump and anonymity, said that the doctors administered oxygen to the president on Friday morning, several hours before he was at Walter Reed later that day. CNN, okay, need I say more? CNN also reported that Trump was given oxygen Friday and that ABC News said multiple sources confirmed that Trump had been given supplemental oxygen and experienced shortness of breath. According to CNN, multiple sources familiar with the matter also said that Trump was initially hesitant to go to Walter Reed on Friday, with the president reportedly saying he didn't want to be hospitalized. The sources told CNN that White House advisors made a last-minute push to get Trump to board Marine One as it sat on the South Lawn. That might be also why there was a bit of a delay on that. In response to these reports, White House spokesman Judd Deere said in a statement to CNN that the White House is fully committed to providing transparent and regular updates to the president's condition and recovery. A press release issued by Connolly Saturday evening reiterated his earlier positive descriptions of Trump's condition, adding that the president has made substantial progress since diagnosis. The physician said that Trump had received a second dose of his coronavirus treatment called Remdesivir. I probably am not saying that right. And remains fever-free and off supplemental oxygen. He spent most of the afternoon conducting business and has been up and moving around the medical suite without difficulty, Connolly continued. And while not out of the woods, the team remained cautiously optimistic. The update echoed remarks from Trump himself in a tweeted video address from Walter Reed Saturday evening saying that he was feeling much better now. Yeah. So he recorded a video prior to leaving the White House, and then he recorded a video this evening that was tweeted. We're working hard to get me all the way back, the president said in a four-minute video clip. I have been back because I have to be back because America still has to be great again. Excellent. Trump then added that treatment throughout the coming days would be critical for his health as he combats the virus. Over the next period of a few days, I guess that's the real test, he said. So we'll be seeing what happens over those next couple of days. Okay, so even he's saying, realistically, we have to kind of look at this and see what the situation is. Because people have gone from feeling better to feeling a whole lot worse. It's just the case. These are people who, don't have the president's stamina. Now, while, and I'm just saying this, it's not the article. He's obviously in the age group of 70-plus. And he's overweight. I believe he suffers from obesity, something I can relate to, being somewhat obese myself. But I don't believe he has any other underlying conditions. The president said he was given the option to isolate at the White House after testing positive for the virus and undergo treatment from the residents. But he said eventually decided against it, adding, "We have to confront problems. As a leader, you have to confront problems." The contradictory reports on Trump's condition come as a growing number of the president's inner circle and top Republicans have also tested positive for COVID-19, drawing renewed scrutiny on the U.S.'s handling of the pandemic. On top of the president and Melania Trump and Hicks, former White House counselor Kellyanne Conway also contracted the virus. Both Hicks and Conway had been in close contact with the president to assist preparations for Tuesday night's presidential debate. This debate preparation group also included New Jersey Governor Chris Christie, who announced Saturday that he had checked himself into a local hospital hours after he tested positive. "On consultation with my doctors, I checked myself in the Morristown Medical Center this afternoon," the former governor tweeted early on Saturday evening. "And while I am feeling good and only have mild symptoms due to my history of asthma, we decided that this is an important precautionary measure." Apparently, an abundance of caution was already used. Anyway, Christie added in his follow-up tweet, "I am thankful for our hardworking medical professionals and look forward to my coming home soon." Yeah, I know. I know the president was very gushy about the people at Walter Reed. Everyone, quite frankly, at Walter Reed, doctors, nurses, and everyone else involved with the running of the operation. So, both Christie and Trump were overweight, leaving the two at higher risk for complications from the virus that has already affected more than 7.3 million people in the U.S. and left more than 208,000 dead. Republican Senator Mike Lee, Thornthrous, and Ron Johnson, had tested positive within the past couple of days, as well as Trump's re-election campaign manager, Bill Stephen. Vice President Pence tested negative for the coronavirus on both Friday and Saturday. Pence is scheduled to fill in for Trump at campaign rallies and is scheduled to host an event in Peoria, Arizona on Thursday. A spokesperson for Eric Trump, the president's son, and his wife, Lara Trump, said the two have tested negative for the virus on Saturday, a day after his sister, Ivanka, and her husband, Jared, tested negative. Attorney General William Barr tested negative on Friday and Saturday, said that he would not self-quarantine despite potential exposure over the last Saturday's White House ceremony at Judge Amy Coney Barrett's Supreme Court nomination. Several people were tested positive, including Lee, Hicks, and Connolly, all attended the event as well. All right, that's the end of the article. I got a couple minutes. I think I read somewhere that the Democrats, led by Schumer, shoe leather. No, wait, they didn't make shoes out of them, did they? No, I think that was disproven. Lampshades as well. I think Schumer was calling for the confirmation hearings to be canceled as a result of coronavirus concerns. Now, if everybody who has tested positive is eliminated from that scenario, I don't see any reason why that shouldn't take place. And I think Mitch McConnell has pretty much said as much. It isn't the sort of thing that they would push to a virtual situation. They can do that with a lot of meetings, but you know, a lifetime appointment generally warrants a bit more of a you know, in-person meeting. And I think there was one, speaking of which, in-person meeting, I think there was one Republican senator who met with Amy Coney Barrett in the last couple of days. I do not remember the gentleman's name, but I believe there's one Democratic senator who wound up meeting with her. So that's really, I guess, what's going on in the world. I mean, there's probably a lot of little stuff. I think there was a recent, I might as well read this, just so we know that, you know, Islam doesn't sleep. We get caught up in domestic affairs that we lose track. Terrorism link being probed in Paris attacks. And this is from the KIJL.is. I don't even know what this is. But there's some news here. Let me read this. I'm not quite sure what this site is. Must be fake news. Knife attack. Let's see. Where is this? Yeah, okay. French prosecutors are treating a knife attack near the former offices of satirical magazine Charlie Hebdo in Paris as a possible terrorist incident, authorities said on Friday. The attacks have left two people dead. Wait a minute. The attacks have left at least two people injured, police say. French Prime Minister Jean Castex. Castex, I guess. Told press near the scene of the attack that those injured were two journalists whose lives are not in danger. Previous reports, including including comments from Castex, had put the number of wounded at four. Two suspects have been detained, one near the Palace de la Bastille and Place de la Bastille, and the other areas in the Richard Lenoir metro station, near the crime scene. Several French reporters reported. That's what they do. It is not clear what motivated the attack. Police argued or urged the residents of the city's 11th district to stay indoors for the time being. A DPA reporter who attempted to reach the scene found the entire neighborhood blocked off with police tape. Prime Minister had called a crisis meeting. European Council President Charles Michel condemned the attack on Twitter and expressed his solidarity with the French people. All my thoughts go with the victims of this cowardly act of violence, he wrote. Terror does not have any place on European territory. Words of sympathy also came from Italy. Well, that's nice. Solidarity with France for the vile attack near the former offices were called. Okay, that's the actual. So that was just their Italian prime minister saying. A trial is underway in Paris for the 14 people who allegedly provided aid to attackers who stormed the Charlie Hebdo's offices on January 7, 2015, leaving 12 dead. In all, 17 people died at the hands of three attackers during the week of terror in the city. The publication recently reprinted characters of the Muslim prophet Muhammad, deemed offensive in large parts of the Muslim world, and has once again been receiving threats. So that's... that's what's going on in France. That being said, I believe I've reached my limit. Or reached your limit. Or you've reached your limit, I guess. Let me see what I got going on over here. I want to get back to the page. Okay, so what's, is it, am I getting ready to get out of here?
Yay!
There you go. Haven't done that in a while. Let's see. Head over to lfmidwood.com. That's lfmidwood.com. You'll find archives. You'll find my social media, which I would really like if you participated in. I don't ask much. I don't ask anything. Well, that's not true. is a list of my favorites. It's where a vast majority of my news is culled from. Cold. Up on the top there, over to the right, you'll find 11LR9. That'll take you to Johnny Lightning's page, where you'll find John Lightning Archives. You'll find Dave the Boogeyman Archives. You'll find Big Steve Cole In Memoriam Archives. You'll find more LF Midwood Archives. And all the way over to the right, our good friend Brad Reed, he's running the streams on Grits Radio, which is not only the name of his show, but also the name of his stream, I'm presuming. I might be mistaken about that. It wouldn't be the first thing. I have to make a point of getting over there at some point in time. Head over to the super secret chat room and see how everything's going over there with those people, because I haven't been by there in a while. A long while, actually, now. But anyway, all of that being said, I'll be back next week. Hopefully, I'll be back next week. Well, okay. So that being said, let me pop this out. I'm going to play the close, and then I'm going to make like a submarine door and beat it.
You've been listening to the Midwood Files on Radio New York International. Thanks for listening.